Mr. Lowry, Reel 2. What was the process of actually joining the Territorial Army? You say you're going to join the Territorial Army. How did you do it?
Well, I was under 21. And you had to have your parents' permission if you wanted to join the Army under 21. And I took the papers from my father and mother. My mother wouldn't. No way. I said, keep out. He wouldn't sign it. My father, after a bit of persuasion, he signed it. So I went for a medical, a quick one.
It wasn't particularly...
I wouldn't say really. Your teeth, your eyesight, your general health, I would say, yeah. That was it. No, and I went to... Yes, I saw the Major first, Major Williams. Ah, yes, this. And they asked me a few questions, Major Williams.
What Territorial Army unit was this?
The 269 Battery, 63rd Regiment, 63rd Northumberland Regiment. The 269 Battery was just being formed at that battery. And Major Williams was, well, he was a major there.
And was the drill hall here in Hartlepool?
No, this is in same harbour. Yeah.
So was it essentially was a Royal Artillery unit, was it?
Oh yes, Royal Artillery. Every anti-aircraft Royal Artillery. We trained on 3.7s.
Yeah, we'll come to that. So you spoke to the commanding officer, Major Williams.
Williams, yes.
And obviously you were accepted.
That's right, oh yes, after a few questions. Yes, accepted.
And on acceptance, what happened next after you'd been accepted?
We drilled twice a week, night time. We went to drill all, for drill practice.
And had you been issued with a uniform by then?
Oh, yes.
What did they give you? What was the uniform of the time?
The same as the First World War uniform. Oh, you didn't have putties. But it was a brass jacket, flat cap, peak cap, brass button on your jacket, and your trousers, your slacks.
And did you have two of them or just the one?
Just the one at the time, yeah.
And shirts, were they?
Army shirts. Khaki shirts, army shirts. Everything was provided, your best pants, socks, boots, everything.
And were you measured for them or did they just look at you?
I'm looking. Oh, yeah. Smile at you, more or less. Yeah. Well, you tried them on, yes. Well, you tried the jacket on. And the cap. Yeah.
And if they were too long, I think, was there a tailor that would make them fit?
No, there was no tailor. But when we went to camp with a tailor, who'd been a tailor in Civil Street, and he would help them for you for a short price. Yeah, he cut them and halted them and made them look a bit smarter.
The drill hall at Seaham, could you describe it? What was the building like?
It was a very large hall. Yeah, it was very large. They had the 3.7 gun in, anti-aircraft gun, and the predictor, and the rangefinder, the various, Now I went on the, I was on the predictor.
The hall, you say, a very large hall, and were there rooms, smaller rooms, like office rooms, and...
One or two little offices, yes.
And was there a bar for social occasions?
No, just for drilling.
Whereabouts in Seaham was it?
That would be, I forgot the name of the street, yeah. But it was a purpose-built hall for territorials, for territorial land. It was purpose-built, when it had been built. I forgot the name of the street, but it's in Seaham itself. Yeah.
Initially, when you first went, then was it basic drills to start with?
Oh yes, just basic drills.
That's
marching and what, saluting and things like that. A little bit of rifle drill. That's shoulder arms and such like. Yeah.
How did you take to this change of life, the discipline of the territorials?
Not too bad. I think a man who could take discipline, yeah, accepted it for what it was, yes.
Mm. Was the unit split into smaller units? You say it was a battery.
Yes, yeah. There were the batteries. I can't remember. 6th Air Regiment. I forgot how many batteries there was. I think it was two. I think one was based at Sunderland. We were seeing them. The Sunderland. Oh, that was I think 273. If I remember rightly. Well, we were the 269 battery. Just informed.
What made up a battery?
Before guns, four heavy and aircraft guns, predict the crew, arrange finder crew, yeah, what else would there be? That would appear, before guns, predictor, arrange finder, yeah.
And this?
Yeah, officer in charge.
And that was major?
In action, be a junior officer. The major will never.
Do you remember the name of your particular junior officer?
One was called Hope. Yeah, Lieutenant Hope. I can't remember the other ones.
What were they like?
Very good. Very good officers. Very good men. Yeah, very good.
And complain. Were they young men or First World War vintage?
No, young men. Older, maybe roughly about in the 30s, late 20s, early 30s. The junior would be the oldest.
And he was overall commander of the whole battery?
Yes, he was commander of the battery, Major Williams. He'd be late 30, maybe 40, approximate.
So the Major Williams, and each battery was commanded by a junior, each gun was commanded by a junior.
In action.
By a junior officer.
Would be one. Four junior, there was captain, yeah, lieutenant, second lieutenant, captain, the major, that appears. Well, four junior officers, the major, yeah, because we had the NCOs. Yeah.
Was there a second in command to the unit?
No, that was it. Mm-hmm.
You say then there's NCOs. What was the composition of the NCOs in the battery? How many again did you have?
Maybe Bombardier's NCO. The first one was Bombardier, a Lance Bombardier. About four Bombardiers. There'd be, I think, four sergeants. We didn't have a sergeant major. We'd had a sergeant major, we're not on the site. He was regimental sergeant major. But I think we were too small to have a sergeant major. We didn't have a sergeant major.
So how many of the would there be altogether of you in the unit?
Oh dear. In full strength, maybe to them. There were 6, 12 the guns. 6, 7, 24 I see about 100. Roughly about 100. Went big, so you went. We only had four guns, and the instruments, and the coats and things. Yeah, about 100, maybe very a few more. Not a large amount, not a large number of men. No.
So after, below the officers who commanded a gun, who would say, for example, we took your gun? What was the composition of the crew?
The sergeant in charge of each gun. So. A sergeant and the NCO, a bombardier, and the two on the guns, on the intercept, you know, for the handle of the guns, and the bearing of the gun, and the men to load the gun. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Be eight men on each gun. We were on a predictor, there were 6 of us on a predictor.
Yeah, we'll come to that. I'm just wanting to move through the section, we get a picture of what a battery was.
Yeah.
So you've given me that, and the jobs, the particular jobs that a man would do on a or men would do on a gun. What was a sergeant's responsibility?
He just oversaw it.
the oversight. He was supervised them.
He repeat orders that came from the Clan Post, eh, the sergeant. And there was the gun layer, the two gun layers, one for the angle, one for the bearing, to swing the gun round, up, one for up, one for down.
And where were their position on the gun?
Left and right. One left, one right. And on seats, see, and it's at the end of these instruments. And then the gun, the man who put the round in the gun, automatically swung it over, and it was shoved in. See. The men on the ground got the shells out. They got the shells, bodies of the gun, onto the gun tray. The gun later, the man who put the shell in the gun, pushed he moved it over, and it was rammed into the gun barrel. That was the gun crew.
And who fired it? Who actually did the actual firing? The trigger or whatever it was it used.
One of the men on the gun, he fired it, yeah.
What was it done by, a string or something?
A string, yeah. A string fired. But the sergeant's there giving commands.
And this would be a drill, no doubt. They were trained to do this as a drill.
3.7. On 3.7s, it was. Of course, I'm talking about 4.5 guns there, separate guns. But we train on 3.7s. They're a mobile gun. You can drop on the wheel, four wheels, drop them, lift them up, move them, whatever. A mobile gun. Trained on those.
A good gun crew, how many shells could they fire off, say, in a minute?
Ooh. Four, five, maybe. Four or five. Sort of a big shells.
Right, now we can come to you. You said you were on the
predictor.
What was a predictor? Can you explain and describe it to me?
Oh, very, very complicated. Well, something like a modern, I always say, some kind of modern computer. You know, you're putting a lot of information in. There's one for bearing, with a telescope on. If you cross out a target, a plane. One for angle, we'll put the guns up as angle. What the other side of the predictor? There's one for drum for the fuse. Yes, it's difficult to explain because it's a complicated machine. One for the fuse, but you could put into this with six men, different jobs. One for the fuse, one for wind. You've got these instructions to put it in the machine as went on.
What kind of instructions were you getting?
There'd be the range finder would give the height. See? That was worked out at boom boom. It's complicated system. But the range finder you got the height. That was put in the predictor. That got the range. And you were following it. If you've got a target, the plane was getting followed, see? And there's a drum going round and round. There was two needles. One was coming down, and this what had been put into the predictor, come down. And once the needle meet, just a fraction below, you had to give the order fire to the officer. And the officer would repeat it with the megaphone, right, to the guns. It's a very complicated machine to explain.
Agnes, I understand that, and it's not easy for you. What did the predictor just look like, looking at it? What would I see?
Oh, it was like a big box on a stand. The one for the sight, for the telescope, you put your eye to, for bearing, you turn it round. One for handle, and all the different instruments you had to put in. Even I put wind, I think it was wind, the power of the wind, out of a shell, the flow of a shell. This is going on the ballistics now. But all this information was put into a display.
When picture. You say put in, was it a keyboard or?
Oh no, just buttons. More like a button. or modest nobs really who turned them around.
And there was some from a numbered.
Yes, a number of different numbers. Yeah. They've got a fuse before that. I have got it now. The gunner's got that. You've got a fuse, but when these two pointers met on this drum was going around, which was complicated, very complicated.
But that was the point when everything was in there.
Yes, I think it was in. Everything was in, and these points at the meat before you got the order to fire. Yeah.
But it took a lot of training to become quite proficient at it.
Fair. We only had the basics, our job. That was our job, different jobs. That was our basics. See? So you knew, you a bit, But the basics, it was a officer knew that. A very, very intelligent officer. He knew everything about it. I think he knew the inside of it. We didn't. We weren't clever enough. But that we weren't clever enough.
Were all the unit was a territorial unit. Were there any regular officers particularly, or regular NCOs with you?
One sergeant trainer. He was regular.
Do you remember his name?
No, I can't remember his name. And the quartermaster, he was regular soldier. There was two, quartermaster and one regular soldier trainer who trained us. Mm.
And you did all your training within the drill hall itself with this gun that was in there, or your initial training was in there?
Before camp. Yeah. I think it was twice a week, we went to camp for the Manavia for a fortnight, for 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks Manavia.
What date was this?
August, was August. About the 10th of August, something like that. It was August, yeah.
Now, this is 1939, and
yes.
The war clouds were gathering.
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you realise at that time, as a young man, that this may become a permanent thing in war?
I did. Oh, yeah, I did. Because this chap I was talking to, Terriers, he said, come and join the Terriers, Bob. I said, go to camp. I said, well, if war breaks out, I'll be called up. So I might as well have a week's, a fortnight's camp. That's the way I did think, before I called up. Yeah. I knew war was imminent. Yeah.
Were there any signs, particularly in Hartlepool, which would be a vulnerable port, were there any signs of defences being made before the war actually started? Was there anything happening? Sandbags going up? Or?
Not really. No, not. A few weeks previous to the war it happened. Sandbags or defences. Well, Hartlepool had coastal defence for years, from the First World War. Everybody knows that. But we would see them. Yeah.
Air raid shelters for the homes, were they appearing?
Yes, we were getting those. And gas masks, air raid shelters, all appearing. Before war broke out, was very imminent. We in the Terriers, we had the camp for this 2 weeks. I went back to work, I think for a few days, and we were home. Territories were mobilised again before the war broke. A few weeks before the war broke out.
Before we go on with that, can you talk me through your camp? What happened in camp?
Oh, we got actual firing. We're on in Manavia, right? We're on the coast. And we had a plane, aeroplane, towing a target, like a trailing behind. That was our target that we aimed at. Mm.
And were these 3.7 guns?
These were 3.7s. How
accurate did you find yourselves at that stage?
Well, gunnery, anti-aircraft gunnery, that's a very... People say, well, they're missing. It's a very complicated thing to hit a plane. It's like Sandy hit a fly in it with a revolver. That's just hit the plane up there, even with shells, bursts and shells. Mm. Fairly accurate. In there, below, high, behind it, around about.
Was it a tented camp that you were in?
All tents. Bell tents. That was all tents, yeah. Everything was in tents. I enjoyed it.
Can you take me through a day in camp? Say, what time would Ravalli be?
Six in the morning. 10 o'clock. Light out 10 o'clock. Over at 6. Ravalli at 6. Yeah.
And obviously you got washed and dressed.
washed, dressed, went for some physical training, breakfast, and breakfast.
What was army breakfast in those days?
Pretty good. Sometimes, bacon, porridge. Oh, porridge! You always got porridge. Always got that. Bacon, eggs, bacon, things like that.
And after
it was fair, quite fair.
After your meals, what would you be doing in camp? We're talking about camp.
We go out, we drill.
Was this
sometimes we go on route march?
And this was army, typical army drill.
Army drill. Sometimes we take on a route march. Army drill. Everything had been put. The tent walls had to be put right up. Get the fresh air through. All your bedding, your clothes, your equipment had to be laid out properly. Army wear, army style.
Army kit inspections.
Army kit. Yes, all ready for all in a row. All.
And were they inspected every morning?
Oh yes, the orderly officer would come round, the orderly sergeant, and all look all round. Yeah. That was their job, orderly officer, orderly sergeant. And they come round and look, and inspect everything.
Yeah. How many men would be in the tent?
Eight.
And were these bell tents? Or
bell tents, eight. Yeah, eight.
And as you say then, you did a certain amount of drill in the morning. Was there a morning break?
Oh yes, there was. Yeah, they could go to the nappy.
Was a nappy in the camp?
Yes, there was a nappy. Yeah, they go to nappy.
So you were being paid then whilst you were at camp?
Oh yes.
How much was it?
2 shilling a day, 10 pence. 14 shilling a week. God, I won't tell me, you could get a pint of beer for 6 months. Yeah, 6 months.
And you had a nappy and presumably a canteen?
Yeah, a nappy, yeah.
And where did you eat?
A marquee. Not a marquee, like a marquee for Darling Hall, yeah. They're all well laid out, very well laid out.
So if morning was all the morning taken up with drill or route march or whatever it was?
No, sometimes you'd have talks, lectures.
What would they be about?
About your job, the gunnery, yeah, things like that, various things, yeah. And gas. We talked about there's gas training then, gas. Because the first one, being in the water, they were scared of gas.
And did you have to go through the hut to experience your, gas without your mask on?
Oh yes, we did experience. They put us through that one day. Yeah, I think I was during the war though. War started. Yeah, I had experience. Yes.
At this time, were they teaching you to recognise enemy aircraft?
Oh yes.
Or would be enemy aircraft in a short period of time.
Oh no, not pre-war.
That was during the war, sir. Well, we'll come to that.
Yes,
we'll
come to that. Not pre-war, no. It didn't.
So you come up to lunchtime, or dinner time, what was your main meal?
Well, I think the usual. Potatoes, vegetables, and meat. Yeah.
Was it well cooked and well fed?
Yeah, really. Not as good as me, but like the American song. I miss your apple pie. It was quite good, though. Yeah, it's quite good. Good food. Yeah, well done. Fairly done. You had a sweet after it. Yeah.
What did you do in the afternoon?
We were free. We were pretty free at camp after that. Yeah, fairly free after an afternoon. Could go out if you wished.
And was there a town nearby?
Yes, Tenby. Place called Tenby.
How did the civilians take territorial soldiers in those pre-war days?
Too bad. It was Welsh. We did one thing we didn't like. If you went in the pub, these very old farmhouse, these village pubs, very, very old. And the beer was in barrels. The tap, it wasn't pumped. They talked in Welsh. We didn't like that. When we were there talking in Welsh, we didn't like it. So we didn't like it. But
at one point, or not at one point, at several points during your fortnight camp, you were firing your guns.
Oh yes. Most days. Most days you had gun practice. live gun practice. And also in those days they had a plane that was operated by, what do you call it? I forgot the name of it.
Pilotless plane, put it that way.
We could pilot that. Never knocked it down. maybe that was the intention. Too expensive. But it was a pilot plane we could fire in 1939.
And the camp would be obviously not just for your battery. There's other batteries there, presumably. Are there?
Oh yes, there's two batteries.
Yours, yeah. And the Sunderland.
Sunderland batteries, there, both together.
And that was your camp.
That was our camp, yeah.
Evenings when your work had done, was it? What did you do then, camp?
Oh, we'll have a pint. We went out into Tenby. And look around Tenby. Nice, lovely place. And go for a pint. Yeah.
Did you all get on well together?
Very well.
You didn't have any bullies or?
No. Very officer. Very, very good. I've heard about bullying nowadays, now. I can't believe it. Wouldn't it be allowed? The bombardier, the mass bombardier would have put a stop to that in the camp or the hut, wherever you were. In those days, he had enough power to stop it, anything like that. Can't believe it. I can't believe what goes on nowadays.
But when you came back from camp, wasn't long before the war did break out.
Oh yes, I went back into the pit.
You came back to your pit work?
Pit work, yeah. I forgot how many, it wasn't long, maybe a couple of weeks. I can't remember the dates now.
Do you recall where you were and what you were doing when that announcement of war was made by Chamberlain on that Sunday morning?
Oh yes. But previous to that, I was in a pit. I had been on night shift. I was in bed. My sister came up and shook me. I was called, mobilised. Yeah. I went downstairs and they get me. My mother was in tears. Because she knew that from the First World War what it was all about. See? She was in tears. And went up to Geelong. We got onto these lorries. They took us to Dunton Power Station, Newcastle. They put us also on the roof. We had four Lewis guns, one in each corner of the power station roof. We had a 3-inch 1914 and the aircraft, open sighted. That's it, you look through the sights with the guns. That was how badly we were in 1939. That's all we had. Four Lewis guns and two of these 3-inch 1914 guns and the aircraft guns. We fired these these cardboard planes. Put it that way.
So they took your 3-inch 3.7s away from you.
They went to France. Those guns went to France. That's how short we were.